I'd like to call to order the Madison Plains Board of Education regular meeting this evening, Tuesday, October 1st. If you could take roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Here.
Mr. Dodds?
Here.
Mr. Butts?
Here.
Mr. Hunter?
Here.
Mr. Morlock?
Present.
Mr. Detweiler is present.
Todd, would you lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, this evening for public communication, just a note to everyone in the audience. In order for the board to fulfill the obligation for our planned agenda to be effective and efficient, we've allotted 30 minutes total for anyone that's going to speak publicly. We have one person signed in. We have another person on the agenda. Is there anyone else in the audience that wishes to sign in at this moment to speak this evening? We will ask that you keep your talk track at the podium and that you state your name, your address. And then if you'll notice on a go forward, in addition to this, we have put, we put time frames around all the people that will be speaking at the board meeting. And that is to help us to keep on track, keep us more efficient, and to make sure that we get covered, all the things that we need to get covered in our meeting. Okay, so our first public speaker, Chuck Farmer. Oh, and before you start, Chuck, sorry. And as a form of the public communication, you'll be addressing the board directly, but just know that the board will not be responding to questions or anything like that. We will take everything under advisement and have the appropriate person make sure that we get back with you in accordance with whatever your question or whatever your statements are. Okay?
Okay. Thank you. Chuck Farmer, live on 56. What I'm here about is I've addressed it with Mr. Mason. Second or the 9th of October, we had a soccer game scheduled for a Thursday, and it was canceled due to the weather. And the kids still practice, and, you know, so the boy calls home and tells him it was canceled. He said, why is it canceled? He didn't know. He asked. Found out. Come back and said it was because they wanted to say that they didn't want the soccer team to go on the field. So I addressed it with Mr. Mason at the last soccer game, and he informed me that him and Mr. Detweiler made that decision not to play on that field, and one of the reasons was they spent $10,000 on the field this year. And the football does bring in 3,000 people, and I understand that. But that field is a varsity field, correct? And that is a varsity sport. I know those kids go out there and they try, and they play hard. If any of you saw any games, they may not have won, but they played hard. And to build a program, you can't be, I mean, he was fine with that decision because it's a secondhand sport here. Okay, and he didn't want me to make a big deal about this, but it's not a big deal. It's just something that can't be happening at this district because I see changes, but this is a change that's going back to the 70s on this one. And that decision made by the two gentlemen I mentioned, I think is extremely wrong. And that's about all I have. I have another appointment to make tonight, but I just wanted to express my opinion of that. Because you go to these other schools, and even West Jeff, as much of a football town as it is, they've accommodated their soccer team with a soccer-only field, with a stands, an announcer booth, very nice. If you don't want the kids to play on that field, you've got to do something else, and I don't think the district's in that kind of shape to do that. And if you, I know, a lot of people don't care about sport. Personally, I like football too, but my kids play. And I think it's only fair that everybody gets a shot at that field. If it's a high school varsity sport, it should be played on. And the decision making was wrong. So that's it. I'll let you go. If you have any comments for me, I'm open for questions.
Thank you, Chuck.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Good evening.
Okay, and our next public speaker is on the agenda, Mr. Richard Stern.
Good
Hello. I'm Richard Stern, and I actually live in Columbus, which is one of my issues. I'm going to be talking about with the bus policy. First, I want to start off by saying thank you for your time and the platform to discuss my issues regarding the new bus policy. To explain my situation, my daughter is in the seventh grade. I have a court-ordered shared parenting plan. This order has been in place since my daughter is in the first grade. In this shared parenting order, I have weekly visitation that goes from Sunday to Sunday. She is with me for a week and then with her mom for a week. I live in Columbus, so her mom's address was listed as a residential parent for school purposes. On my weeks, I take her to a bus stop in Lily Chapel. It is the same bus she rides on the weeks she is with her mom. She's just picked up in a different location. Up until this year, on my week, she has ridden a bus to my in-laws' house. Their house is in the district, and they have seven children going to school in Madison Plains. There's already a bus making daily stops at their house. Under the new policy, Madison Plains will not accommodate a shared parenting order like mine that switches weekly. I was told if I modified my shared parenting plan to changes in 1 week's time, it could be accommodated. For example, if my shared parenting plan was modified to where I had my daughter Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and she went to her mom's Tuesday, Thursday, that would be okay because the changes would be within the same week. I would argue that that schedule would be more confusing to a child than a set weekly schedule. I was also told in a district with 1,000 kids it was too much to manage these changes weekly, and the kids would have the potential to get confused on where they should go. As I pointed out above, in my opinion, it would be just as or more confusing to make daily changes within the same week. Since I was told in a district with over 1,000 kids, it was hard to manage shared parenting schedules with weekly changes, I took it upon myself to contact Columbus Public Schools and Southwestern City Schools because they are both large districts. In contacting Columbus Public, I found out that they have an enrollment of 33,000 kids. I explained my situation to the transportation department, and they said they would accommodate that shared parenting plan as long as they didn't have to create a second bus stop. In contacting Southwestern City Schools, I found out that they have an enrollment of 14,000 kids. They said their bus schedule is computerized and won't allow for two locations for a child. But they do have circumstances like this, and in these situations they allow weekly bus passes from the non-residential parent so that these types of shared parenting plans can be accommodated. The next time I talked to Mr. Detweiler, I explained both these situations to him, and he informed me that after talking to the transportation director, they were not going to be able to allow my daughter to ride the bus to my in-law's house, where a bus is already going on a daily basis because they also have kids in the district. He told me that those two school districts are much larger than Madison Plains and have more resources to handle these types of situations. He instructed me to contact some smaller districts to see what they said. I contacted West Jefferson Local Schools, Fairbanks, Jonathan Alder, and London. West Jeff, Fairbanks, and Jonathan Alder said that they would accommodate that shared parenting plan without a problem. The transportation director of London said they don't usually accommodate these types of shared parenting plans because of risk of confusion. But he also said when you're talking about 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th graders, the risk of them being confused on where to go is slim to none. So they will work with people with older children. My daughter has been on the shared parenting schedule since she was in the first grade. It has been 6 years and never once have we had an issue. I don't think I'm asking too much for her to stay on the same schedule she has been on for 6 years. Also, I'm not asking for an additional bus stop to be created. There's already a bus going to the location she needs to go on my weeks. In my opinion, this is a new policy and there should be some sensible changes. I can understand and respect the challenges of a small school district with limited resources, but I believe what I'm asking from the district is sensible. And that's pretty much what I have. Do you have any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Stern. We
Thank
appreciate
you.
Your feedback.
Thank you.
OK, Okay, we will move next to board work session, and before we have a speaker, does anybody have anything?
We were looking at that busing policy briefly at one meeting. I can't remember which one it was. We had a lot of people that were talking to us about a bunch of different things. I know Kathy and Trish and Sam.
I'm not sure which one that was.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Just I don't remember what it was. It's here or there, one thing.
Right. Point of clarification. The policy has been in place for 2 years. This is just the first year that we've enforced it.
Okay.
It has been in place.
I wanted to throw out, does anybody, I guess I'd like to have some available dates for maybe a 2-hour retreat in November for the board to just talk about board protocol, board policy, and focus just to that. I think we had so much at our last meeting that I'd like to see us dive a little deeper into that, those topics, and I thought maybe November would be the soonest we could get something on the agenda, and we'll leave December out if we can. And so I don't know what anybody's thoughts are on that.
November's going to be kind of tough for me.
Is it?
Yep.
Okay. Okay, well then we could, do you have better times that work, better dates?
Early December?
Yeah, I was going to say early December. Our December meeting's the 16th. We'll probably do it before.
So maybe you throw out a couple of dates, first 2 weeks in December. Dave, is that better?
Yeah, it'd probably work.
Okay. So I'll send out a couple of those, a couple optional dates. First 2 weeks in December.
And this pertains to Watergate?
I just thought we'd go over some board policies, some board protocol, and things that we didn't get to go into detail on at our last retreat, talk a little bit more about that, and really things that we need to focus to.
Communication policies.
Communication policies being, well, for one of them. And I have some suggestions on, you know, how we can tweak that, but I'd like us to do that sooner than later. Because when we hit January, we'll have a whole nother bunch of items that we need to address. And I know that there's a lot of policies out there that needed updated. So maybe we can focus to some, how, you know, how we would go about that too. We can, that would be after conference, so we might have a little bit more information. I know Mike and I are gonna, and Bob are gonna attend some of those policy discussions. And then with that, I also thought maybe we could change it up a little bit and have some of the board meetings off-site, some other public locations throughout the community, be a little more visible to the community, and I don't know what anybody's thoughts are on that.
Well, that's another one I got a concern about. That the whole reason that we're out here, when we started bringing them over here, I like to bring people over to see what we got. Things are changed, they come over here and see what's taking place.
Yep.
Rather than impose on some of the other, I mean, about the only place we can go to now is what, Township Halls?
Community Center in Sterling.
I mean, you know, we got a lot of stuff going on over here. Board meetings, I always feel, is an opportunity for people to come over here to the meetings to see what's going on, if they want to go take a look at something that's been built or something that's being constructed, or
mm-hmm.
that's a good opportunity for them to go prior to the meeting and go see it.
One option is to swap meeting locations. Township trustees come here to meet, maybe we're here to meet with them, then go to their place to have our meeting and they come to that meeting, so something might look into.
I'm not saying every meeting or every other meeting, but every once, you know, I certainly think that we should do some of those kind of things too, right, with trustees. Just for consideration. And that's all I really had. Anybody else? Okay, I'll send out those 2 dates for December. And next on our board work session, we have Don Swanger here down from for 20 minutes tonight, Don, and to talk about tolls, as our representative from tolls.
Okay, thank you. First of all, as some of you may or may not know, tolls have been around for a few years, and last week we celebrated the 40th anniversary of Tolls Career and Technical Center. And since Madison Plains is part of that organization, since day one, we were recognized as 40 at 40 as one of the groups that have been involved with tolls and has helped make what it is today. So
great.
We got one of these, and I was going to present this to the board, but since there's only one of me and five of you, I decided I'd keep it.
No, thank you.
There we go.
Very nice.
And hopefully we'll get another one of those at 50 at 50.
Great. Thank you. It's great.
It was a really good celebration. We had a lot of people come back who have been involved with tolls for some of them for the entire 40 years. It was interesting. There's only been four superintendents at tolls since day one, and all four of them were there, including the illustrious Harry Tolls, who makes me look like a young man. Anyway, moving right along, that's 40 at 40. This I don't know. These are superintendents or supervisory reports. Were these in your packet? Were they in the information that you received or not?
Any of those, Don? We've got them listed up there in the public content.
Okay. They're in here.
What is those are the titles. Is one of those what you're talking about?
Yes.
That one is.
It's
the second one.
Tolls report, gender report card.
No, over 10. That one, I believe.
There might be this one right here. I didn't know whether you had them or not. I think we had a miscommunication between myself and Vicki on this, so.
Is that it, Don?
It was on there.
What I want to do. Oh.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it. Do you have those? Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Then I'm not going to read them to you.
Thank you.
You're more than welcome because they're a quarter of an inch.
5 minutes.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
So I will save my time for later. Now, these are the reports that the supervisors give us as a board. And it pretty much outlines everything that's going on at tolls, and it's a lot easier for you to take a look at these at your own leisure and see what's happening. And if you've got questions at any time on anything that's in there, you can call me. I probably won't know either, but I'll give it a shot. So, but look those things over. Like I say, if you do have questions, don't ever be afraid to give me a call. And that saves us a whole lot of time up here. The other thing that I did want to look at is the report card. And I see that that's up there. So if we can get to the report card, if I can read it. That I will try to explain a little bit. Okay. Okay, page one. These are, first of all, we are required to track our students after they graduate. And as I know, as Tim knows and several people who I've seen back here know, that's next to impossible because everybody doesn't respond. We do a pretty good job of this, and we've got between 93 and 94% actual response on this. Part of it's because it's required, part of it's because we want to know. If we don't know what our kids are doing, then we don't know whether the programs that we've got out there are working. I know this is something that we've talked about here at Radisson Plains, and I know we have a company that does that, and actually, all things considered, it's probably the best company in the country for doing it. The problem is their response rate falls somewhere around 50%. And the kids that we really want to know about are the other 50% that we don't know. And it's something that probably we need to look at here at Madison Plains. There's ways to do it that makes it so it's not impossible. For one thing, you don't knock on the guidance counselor's door, and say, do it. We've got 200 kids in tolls, and if we left this to the guidance department, they'd probably go nuts trying to get it done. And that's about all they get done in the entire year, because it isn't an easy thing to do. But it gets divided up, and essentially we get about 80% response rate, and that's where the guidance counselors and several other people on a committee take over to get the rest of them. But we've got a pretty good response rate. We know a little bit about what's going on. What's really interesting is, with all things in education, nothing is extremely timely. This report card says 213, 214 at the top. These are 2012 graduates. So this is what we were doing 2 years ago. The information, I don't know whether the state lost it or what happened to it, but they don't have it for 2013 yet. So hopefully we'll see that next year. But to explain a little bit about what's going on, the first part up there is technical skill attainment. And this is based on, in most cases, nationalized tests in the program area that our students are in. And part of this is low due to, if you look at our assessment participation rate, only 44% of our students take an actual test that's on a national level. Now, this is 2012. It's up from there. I'm not sure exactly where it is, but I know it's higher than that at this point. But for 2012, we were at 44%, gave us a D. I wasn't real happy with it. Fortunately, neither was anybody else. So this is in the process of being changed, and I do have a little bit of an update on this in this report. Graduation rate, we look pretty good in Madison County. When you start comparing us to schools around the country, we've got an A in both four-year and five-year graduations, and we're at 95%, which makes us look pretty good. I'm not sure that unless you've got some kind of specialized school, you're going to do much better than that, because we've got kids moving in and out all the time, and 100% would be probably much less than possible. As far as prepared for success, you can look down through there and see the different programs that we have. Most of them are the same programs we had here at Madison Plains: dual enrollment, advanced placement, honors, JVSD. And the reason that JVSD is on there, as well as our dual enrollment and TOLS, as you know, we have an ag program here. That ag program is part of these numbers. Hilliard, Dublin, all have satellite programs through TOLS. So those count as, not necessarily, they don't count as TOLS, they count as Hilliard and Dublin. Post-program outcomes, these are placement. In other words, if a student is really good, we get them placed during the school year. And then what we want to know is, are they staying in that career after they've been trained? And here we've got a C. Our post-program placement is based on what we got, which was the known rate was 82%, so we don't know exactly what all of them are doing, but we got a C on that. Now, next page, and these are the graphs that, and I'm not going to go over these show some of our measures for students, and you can look those over, and it just makes a little more sense looking at them, but it compares the JVS district to tolls. Okay, financial data. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on that. About the only thing I can tell you as far as financial data, we operate on 1.6 mills and state funds. Our state support is about $2 million. We are on the guarantee, just like Madison Plains. And if we increase, I'm thinking it's somewhere in the neighborhood of 400 or 500 kids, we'll get some money, just like Madison Plains. If we increase, I can't remember what the year was that went into effect, but that's the year we got to get back to before Madison Plains gets any more money. So when we pick up kids, we don't necessarily get any more money to educate with. And I know that's one of the reasons that at Tolls we're looking to get more students, and I know that that's the reason at Madison Plains we're looking to get more students. We can't teach without funds, and we've got to get more kids in here if we're going to do it, which means in the meantime, we get to do a better job with what we have. And when you figure that out, you no longer need to be a school board member because you can retire. So, anyway, if I can get on here, I've got some numbers that compare goals to, okay, that's the calculation, keep going. Okay, this is for, it says 2012, but it's okay, but unofficial. This is for 2013, and this is if we were looking at the numbers that we have today, in the initial grade, we would go, this was our C, this would move up to a B, participation, back up, oh, okay. Yeah, 77.4, which is a little higher than the number we had before. This would be a B, this is a Y, and our final grade jumps from the D up to an A. So we have done some things in the past year that have brought us up to a much higher level than where we were before. This is 2014, based on the numbers that we have. What we know today. Hopefully we'll know a little bit more when the state gets their numbers put in. Like I say, we have, well, we don't have 20. Yes, we do. We've got 2014 in. We don't have 2015 in yet. But we're working on that. Okay, if you have any questions about those, feel free to ask. Give me a call. Either way. My whole point here is that we're doing the same thing at Tolls that we're doing here, is we're trying to do a much better job of educating our kids. We're trying to follow state guidelines, and sometimes these things are difficult to do. I guess one of the things that I look at, what if a kid goes through a program and doesn't end up going into that particular career, and we get judged on that? This is strictly my opinion, but I'm not sure that that's absolutely necessary. And the reason I say that is because if a kid goes to a career in tech school, if he spends 2 years in a program, kids have a tendency to change their mind. At least the three that I have did. They wanted something else after they got out of school. One of them went bad, one of them's got 2 degrees and still not doing what any of those things got her trained for. But anyway, kids change their mind, but the advantage that those kids have is they have a ticket to a job in a career that is gonna pay enough to make a living wage. And they can go out there and go to work and make enough money, have a family, and get the training they need to go into something else. If they're out there making $8 to $10 an hour, that's not gonna happen. That ought to be a course that we teach in high school, how to live on $10 an hour. I sure hate to try it, I don't know about you. Anyway, that's pretty much what I've got on the grade card. The rest of this is just goodies that I brought for you to tell you a little bit more about tolls and a little bit about the job market. I guess my attitude has been, if you want to work and you're not working today, it's because you probably do not have the skills that somebody wants to pay for. And I hear a tremendous amount of people crying because they don't have a job, they were laid off, and they can't find work, and they can't find work because those jobs don't exist. It's kind of like computer technology. About the time a program comes out, it's obsolete. And we've got a lot of jobs out there that by the time those jobs come out, 2 to 3 years later, they're gone. We're trying right now to put together a program for years. Since 1900 and even before then, manufacturing has pretty much controlled the schools and what schools teach. And they didn't necessarily want people to be the brightest graduates in the world because they wanted them to work on an assembly line. And any of you that's ever worked on an assembly line knows that after about a day and a half, it'll get to you. Anyway, what we're trying to do now is keep up with manufacturing, who's beating the door down because they want us all of a sudden to train all the people that they want to have in manufacturing. Manufacturing is not leaving the United States. The old manufacturing is leaving the United States. If you just watch television, Mr. Kasich's on there, and he's telling everybody that he brought all these jobs back from Mexico and China and India. I'm sorry, but he didn't bring any jobs back. The jobs that are here today in the manufacturing industry are new jobs, and at Tolls and eight other schools around the country, we just won a $15.5 million grant from the Straight A Fund. We got ours.
Wow.
Good.
That's great.
And hey there. But we just got that grant, and what it's going to do is put in 9 manufacturing programs across the state of Ohio. Tolls is going to get $1.5 million out of this. The program is called RamTech, and please forgive me, I got to read this because I can't even remember. RamTech stands for Robotics and Advanced Manufacturing, Technology Education, and Collaborative Overview. And what this means is we're going to get, as part of our engineering or manufacturing engineering program, some robotics or some robots and 6 or 7 additional pieces of equipment to teach how to use the robots. And that will be in. We're putting this stuff is starting to come in now. We have revamped both of our engineering labs. The equipment is going in, and hopefully we'll be running at 100% next year. So, going to be a big program.
Thank you, Don.
Hopefully we'll get some kids that want to go into manufacturing.
Hey, Don, that, okay, thank you very much. That's great information. We've got you at 20. Do you have a couple, anything else that we need to look at?
Okay,
or are you?
I've got the rest of what I've got in just handouts.
Okay, great.
And you can read those on your own time.
Okay.
And for those of you who don't like to read, look at the pictures. They're really pretty.
I can pass them down.
Pass them down.
Yep.
In fact,
got it.
Pass them all down.
Okay.
If any of you are interested, I've only got one of the Ramtech magazines. If anybody else would like to have one, it is interesting.
Okay.
Pictures. And if you let me know now, I'll get them for you.
I'd like to have one, Don. You shouldn't give me one.
Okay.
Two.
Three. I'll get a handful.
Great, thank you very much. We appreciate the information.
That's all I've got.
Thank you for staying in that time allotment. We appreciate it. Out. One more. Okay.
I guess the best thing
we
I
will
can say is between Madison Queens and our sister school with Poles, we're doing the best job we possibly can.
Good.
To have our kids ready for this world of work that they're, some of them are going to enter very, very soon.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for the time.
We will move on to the approval of board minutes.
Madam President, I move that the minutes of the September 16th, 2014 and October 7th, 2014 meetings be approved as written.
Second.
Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries. 5-0.
Okay, we will move on to financial section under the treasurer's report. Mr. Westing.
Yeah, the treasurer's report, there's nothing real exciting in there this time, which is a good thing, I think. We just have to check register receipts, ledger, bank reconciliation, financial summary. In the months to come, we will have the projections and the monthly spending plan and revenue projections.
Okay.
Yeah, and then the second item we have is the 5-year forecast.
We should have a hard copy. Todd's pulling that up. Obviously, he and I worked together on this. The May forecast is the one that I created. This is his first go at our forecast, and we worked on that quite at length. It was kind of nice to have another treasurer come in and verify some of the projections I've been making. Some things we tweaked a little bit. Some things we'll talk about here that we had to make some major corrections to, and you'll see why. I won't steal any of it. Todd's thunder.
Well, like I said, it's mostly Tim's thunder. So. it was great to be able to come in here and work with the spreadsheets that Tim had in place and really dig into the data. The great thing, like Tim said, is that I was able to verify a lot of what he had projected in the past, which is good coming in on top of that.
They could have been troubling for both of us.
Yeah, that would have been bad. So there was a lot of, like, that's great going on. Good. So.
Those are good answers.
Yeah.
The biggest thing, of course, that you want to look at is actually at the bottom of the page, of course, and the June 30th unreserved fund balance. You can see for the first 3 years, we're looking pretty good. And then in year four, we start to go into the negative, and that was somewhat to be expected. Year five, of course, we have a substantial amount going negative there, 2.1 million. Largest portion of that, what Tim and I determined, is represented, if you go to the top of the page again, I'll try to point to it here if I can. Right here in 2013, that is our all other operating revenues, was 1.1 million. you can see that that fell off to 855,000 was the actual number in 2014. What Tim accurately was at the time was an accurate projection for 2014 was 1.1 million. So you can see there was a $300,000 difference there. What we came to find out, that $300,000 difference was mainly due to open enrollment, more going out than kids we have coming in. Those are dollar for dollar changes. Those are our kids leaving, going to another district, and they take their money with them. The per pupil amount that we receive for those kids go to another district. That was the largest part.
Right. When that spread grows, then you see this number go down. Because mm-hmm. right now, we were projecting, you know, about 750,000 of that was going to be for open enrollment dollars coming in. Well, that ended up being around $500,000 coming in. Because we had, the way the state does it is they say, okay, this many kids are going out, so your money's going with them. This many kids are coming in from other districts, that's coming to you. That spread is what you see here that got farther apart. We had more kids going out and fewer kids coming in starting in 14. So we had projected all the way up through there accurately, and then 14 hit. That was not a good year. And we're still trying to dig in to see if we're actually recovering from that. The numbers of kids going out has gone down, but also the number of kids coming in has gone down. So we've changed that projection moving forward somewhat. If we'd have stayed on that trend, we would have been well over 1.2 million moving out through those 5 years. So that impact, as Todd will talk to in a moment, affects your bottom line.
So. That's right. It's a cumulative effect. The effect of those 5 years is what ultimately gets us to that $2.1 million in the negative. Everything else pretty much trended the way as far as salaries, benefits, our major expenses. The 2014 actual supported the 2014 projected. And so the projections on out through 2019 didn't change too much there.
That's why it's critical. We have the 5 year, and in November, it's our goal to have the 10 year financial plan. So again, you can see beyond year five. And if you remember, in our previous 10 year, 2019 was in the red, even though it wasn't showing on the 5 year forecast, because it wasn't required to be presented yet. The 10 year showed us that, so we knew it was coming. But now it's on your forecast. And the real difference is without open enrollment change, 18 now is in jeopardy. Okay? So if you recall, the 10 year plan asked for us to start talking about how we're going to address that in 2017, whether that's, as we talk today, is it going to be reductions in expenditures, which are a whole gamut of things that could happen, or are you going to look for new revenues? So what we talked about 3 years ago is coming to fruition. So that's good news that we knew what was coming, but it's coming. So 2019 is a troubling year for us to deal with, and so we will be talking in 17 about that. Okay, and decisions we'll be making this year dramatically impact this forecast. As you know, it's a negotiation year, so we have 1% built in here for base pay raises. So you can see with that built in here what your impact is on your bottom line.
And that's 16, 17, and 18. So 18 is that particularly troubling year when we're talking about negotiations. So
the one thing to remember, and I remind the new members, your forecast, we can change it at every single meeting based on thoughts, ideas, opinions that you have, okay? We're only supposed to resubmit to the state when it's a significant change to the forecast. So for example, if we had a 20% increase in insurance budgeted in here and you say, what are you doing? It's never gonna be more than 8%. We would change that and have to resubmit. So if you have thoughts, ideas, questions, please provide them to Todd and myself between now and the next meeting. We can re-present if we need to. We know that this is not, we haven't presented fully to the board for you to fully grasp everything in here. You know that's not how I like to do that. I'm certainly sure Todd doesn't either. But this is required to be submitted this month to ODE. And to meet that legislative requirement, we'll submit this. Then in November, we'll have the 10-year financial plan, and we'll go into more detail on what the assumptions are behind this forecast.
Do you have any questions?
In 2015, the auditors doing a revaluation, how would that affect this? It could be a positive, right?
You had 11 and 14 are the reval years. So 15 is when you're going to see the impact.
Yeah.
So we will see that impact this year. Where you're going to see an impact, and we talked about this afternoon, business community in our district is not going to feel an impact because they've already had reductions from the state legislature and business taxes. Where you're going to see it is what we saw last time. Homeowners' property values went down, business taxes went down, but yet we still had the same tax bill that needed to be paid. So that went back to agriculture. And their values skyrocketed due to the CAUV reduction. That's potential this time as well. Because you had the CAUV coming in where they were looking at it. Some of you already met and talked to the state about that. So it's kind of that perfect storm. We have a small business base anyhow, and their taxes were reduced, yet we still have a tax bill that has to be paid. So it's either agriculture or homeowners.
And what we can do is look back at 2011, which was the last reval, 35% increase in agriculture values and a 3.3% decrease in residential and 4.8% in commercial business. So just like Tim's saying, the other two are going down, the other one's going up because somebody has to pay the bill. So.
Any questions till November and we'll go into more detail. Mm-hmm.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of the Treasurer, the September 2014 financial statements be accepted as presented.
Second.
Discussion? Can you call roll, please?
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of the Treasurer, the five-year forecast for fiscal year 2015 through 2019 be accepted as presented.
Second.
Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Okay. We'll now move to the superintendent's report.
Thank you very much, Madam President. My first item, I ask Mr. Cisco to come to the podium and speak to the board. Sure.
Okay.
Chris Cisco. I'm Mount Storm Public Library. I think all of you may know this. The school board appoints the library board members, and each year we reappoint or appoint someone for a 7-year term, and we're putting forth the name of Mrs. Joanna Spears from Mount Sterling. She is currently serving on the board, finishing out a term of a board member who did not finish their term. She served for about a year and a half now, and she lives in Mount Sterling, which is nice because a lot of our people live in the county, so we're getting representation from that area. And she's done a very good job. So with that, we need a motion, if you're so inclined, to
we do, her. And we do have one on the agenda.
Under new business, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Madam President, I make the motion upon recommendation to superintendent the board. The board appoint Joanne Pierce to the Mount Sterling Public Library Board for a 7-year term.
Second.
Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Thank you. Okay, great. Thank you. The second reason I'm here tonight, as you know, back in April, May, the last resolution was put forth by the school board to be on the ballot November 4th for the library for a 0.4 mil levy, which will generate about, in a year's time, on a $100,000 property, $14. It'll generate overall for us about $97,000 to $99,000 is the estimate. The reason we are going for the levy, about 50 to 60% of it is to replace our revenue that's declined. For instance, our budget in 2008 was about $50,000 to $60,000 more than it currently is. So that most of it is to go to replace that. The other thing we would like to do is to update our building. If you lived in the area around 1994, the Mount Sterling Library had expanded, and there's been no major updates to the building since that time. Our elevator, our furnaces, our roof, you deal with it here, they're all from 1994. So we also, our lighting, we're getting to the point where they're telling us we're not going to have light bulbs anymore because they're going to be put out. And so part of the money over the 5 years is to replace that sort of thing. We also would like to expand the library and support the new initiatives that we're doing. For instance, one of our basic problems is that with our school district being so large and is serving people and having people throughout Madison Plains identify with the Mount Sterling Public Library. So a year ago, we received our bookmobile through a state grant, and we have started service. We come here to Madison Plains. We go to, over the summer, we were at Lily Chapel in Newport. We go to South Solon and Sedalia currently. We haven't been able to afford all the stops at once, so but when Madison Plains went out, that's why we made Lily Chapel and Newport stops for us. The one thing that we've done here to reach out to the students in Madison Plains is that we were lucky enough that you're on the same library software that we are. And so we were able to take the library card numbers of the kids, no personal information. We really don't even know what grade they are in. And we put them into our database so that every kid in the Madison Plains district, if they want to, can request materials from the library for the bookmobile, for instance, to drop out at the high school, or use, download the digital books, or if they want to make a visit to the bookmobile, they can come out and check out books during the school year. So this has been a nice way to help with the third grade reading initiative for the elementary school. If the teachers have the time to come out. The other thing that we would like to do is to provide out in the county area more of the digital resources for people to go through our library website, but we haven't been able to invest a lot of money into those initiatives due to the restrictions in our funding. I think about 4 years ago, we spent about $30,000 on library materials, and now we spend about $9,000. So that's been the difference in our reduction in our revenue. Library funding is back to its 1996 level. We are basically, I mean, not adjusted for inflation or anything, we're getting dollar for dollar what we had in 1996. It's just not worth the same amount. So if you can imagine trying to pay your bills on the 1996, what you made in 1996. So that's where we're at, and that's why we're going forward with this. 0.4 mils may sound like an unusual number to go for, but what we did is I sat down with the board. We tried to figure out a five-year forecast to keep the library relevant and important to the community and to provide the services that people are asking us for, and that's how we came up with this amount. Any questions for me?
So some of the funds for that include work on the bookmobile, too, I think.
Yes. Currently, the bookmobile is supported by private donations. We had a couple people who privately donated money, and I broke it up over 3 years to pay for the gasoline, maintenance, and materials, that sort of thing for it. The staffing comes out of the main budget, though. That is an expense that we do have there. Just like any service that you run into, staffing is usually your main cost. Did I make it within the 5 minutes?
You're good, Chris. Thank you.
Now you blew it.
Thank you.
This is almost my last, I think I have one more speech after this, but I'm tired of shaping it. Jerry Revish came down from Channel 10 to do it. They're doing the library in the next couple of weeks, the library levy on Channel 10. be canceled because of the Miami Trace, and then they came back a couple days later and said, you're going to make me shave again.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chris. You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay. The next two items I'm going to go over, but I wanted to let Mrs. Grigsby know. We're going to have the first new business item, that being the granting of a diploma, go after those two items, so you'll follow them. If you want to go ahead and take over the screen, that might make it a little bit easier, if that'll work. Item number two I have is the Gay Straight Alliance Club that we received a request from. I received it this past summer. That was passed on to Dr. Unger. We followed school guidelines in the creation of our clubs. I thought it was important that the board and the community here, and I wanted to read this because I thought it was very nice, the official purpose statement. When you hear the Gay Straight Alliance Club, you might have different concepts of what this club is going to be for, but I think it's important that you hear the purpose statement. It is our goal as a newly formed group of Madison Plains High School to form a club dedicated to protecting and supporting lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and questioning students, as well as working to give back to our community, to our school and community. As a minority facing discrimination, it is critical to the physical and mental well-being of these students to have a place that is easy to access and in which they feel welcome to speak openly and express themselves freely without fear of judgment or bullying from their peers. This club will create an alliance between students facing similar struggles and provide them with a safe place to meet, which will offer the security of confidentiality and acceptance. We will also provide these students with beneficial resources such as separate organizations and helplines to ensure their safety, and we will consistently work to eliminate ignorance and encourage tolerance. We want to make our school a better, safer community for all students, especially those at proven risk. I think when you hear that, that could apply to any club that we have. Whatever the title is, that's what I like to see in a purpose statement, especially that last line. So, again, all I want to do is bring attention to the board that we do have a new club.
Okay.
We're following our past practice in the creation of that club. Went through the proper channels through the high school principal. He's monitoring that club just like he does any other club to make sure they do their paperwork correctly, the signage is in the right places, things like that. But again, we welcome any new club that's going to benefit our students. So I wanted to make sure the board was aware, and if you have any questions about that, I'll be happy to answer those. And I know Sherry is one of the people that will be working with them. I didn't know if you had anything you wanted to add or...
Very good. Just the people who wanted to sign it and have put a lot of work and effort into that.
Very good. Thank you, guys. Next up, building signage. Since I started coming here 14, 15 years ago, and I think it's been longer than that, our signage, other than at the high school, we have a nice sign out front on the building, but other than that, you can't find this building, you can't find the intermediate building, and know where you're going. It's been a problem. I've had some quotes drawn up for me to get the nice signage that'll be on the building. You've seen it at some of the other schools, like Jonathan Alder has. The quote that I've looked for is MP High School, MP Intermediate, MP Elementary. The MP would be in green, the outline would be in gold, we'd have a light shining on it, and each building would have that on the front of the building. So as you come down through here, you know where you're going. Now, that's not cheap, because they're 16-inch letters, they're made out of the stainless steel or aluminum, whichever we want. You're talking anywhere from $4,000 to $5,000 for all the buildings. But again, that's something that will be there for the life of the buildings, and I feel it's a good investment. I've heard a lot of issues and concerns from people in the community, people that come here, they can't find our buildings. They don't know where they're going. So that's just the first step on, again, campus beautification and communicating to people who we are and where we're at. So again, not asking for permission, just letting you know that that will be happening here in the next few weeks.
Okay.
With that, I'm going to move on to the new business item, if that's okay.
Certainly.
This is something that, you know, is a joy for me. I think it is for the board. Talking with Dr. Unger as well for him, we get the great opportunity of presenting a diploma to someone who has served this country well. And when I say that, I don't say that lightly. I just kind of wanted to read off this gentleman's military experience. U.S. Air Force from 65 to 69. The Air Force Inactive Reserve, 69 to 71. Ohio Air National Guard, 71 and 72. U.S. Army Special Forces Airborne, 1972 to 1991. U.S. Army Special Ops, 1991-1992. U.S. Army PsyOps, 92 and 93. U.S. Army Special Forces and Airborne, 93 to 95. Ohio Army National Guard, 95 to 97. Individual Ready Reserve, 97 to 99. Ohio Army National Guard, 99 to 2000. And forgive me if I get it wrong. 37th Brigade Combat Team, 2000 to 2005. By my count, that's about 40 years.
Yes,
sir. That's just amazing to me. And with that, I would ask Mr. Dillon, yes, come up front, Mrs. Cooley, Dr. Hunger.
Before you go any further, can we make this official so that
motion?
We'll make the motion. Madam President, I make the motion upon recommendation of the superintendent that the Board of Grant High School to home of Terry Dillon, veteran. Thank you very much.
Second.
Some of us are just slow learners.
Mr. Hunter?
Dave. He's going to vote.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Dotz?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Well, you guys got to move somewhere where that thing's not
going to
run out
of there.
Yeah, I got the flag over there.
Tighten up the formation here, folks. There we go. I love it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Stay. We're going to be a little while longer. You can take off now if you like, but we'd love to have you stay, but that's totally up to you. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Results. I have a lot of information to go through in 20 minutes. I'm being timed, and I'm going to do my very best to go through it quickly, but if there's some point you want to stop and ask more questions, please stop me. Otherwise, I'm going to keep trying to move through the information. Okay. I want to start with this clip. This is a clip from the Columbus Dispatch on September 13th of this year, where they published a graphic comparing Central Ohio school districts. You may or may not have seen this very large graphic in the newspaper. I don't expect you to read that, just maybe make a connection back to seeing that. And what this graphic told us about Central Ohio school districts is a number of things. One, the new state report card is providing a lot of mixed results for Central Ohio school districts. The majority of school districts in Central Ohio actually met fewer standards and achievement during the 2013-2014 school year than they did the school year previously. It also shows us that graduation rates, four-year graduation rates, are increasing in suburban school districts, but tend to be decreasing in rural school districts. And that the value-added ratings, those that show us growth with students, are pretty much staying the same as they were last year for Central Ohio school districts. The typical Central Ohio school districts, which are listed here towards the side, went up in three areas and down in three areas in the state measurements that were reported. Well, how does that look for Madison Plains, if that's what's happening in Central Ohio? Well, like I said, mixed results are happening for lots of school districts, but at Madison Plains, that painted a much brighter picture than we've seen in a few years. Madison Plains, like other school districts, did meet fewer standards this past school year than we did the one previously, and that's one of the first things I'm going to talk to you about. I mentioned before that rural school districts tend to be decreasing in graduation rates. Madison Plains increased in both our four-year and five-year graduation rates, so that's a positive thing in comparison. I also mentioned that the value-added ratings are remaining about the same. Ours went up two letter grades. It went from an average of an F to a C, so that's another positive for us, but I am going to talk more about that. And as I said before, three up, three down was the typical movement. Madison Plains improved in six areas and dropped in two areas. The other thing I want to do is I want to point out Madison County and let you see what was happening here at home and right here in Madison County. Well, these are the numbers of areas that each of our county school districts increased or decreased. What you'll see here is Madison Plains improved in more areas than any other Madison County school district. We dropped in less areas than any other Madison County school district, and we are closing the performance gap at a higher rate than any other Madison County school district. That's all good news. I'm going to talk about what that means to be closing the achievement gap a little bit later. So this is a first glance of what our report card looks like. A year ago when I talked to the board about this, they were telling us that we won't have an overall grade until 2015. Now they're saying it's 2016. My guess it's going to be 17 or 18 actually before we have that grade. So each of these components that make up our grade haven't been officially graded yet. But you can see there are little areas that have been graded. And when you take an overall look at that, it looks like Madison Plains is about a C school. That's not what we want Madison Plains to be. So we're going to dig a little bit deeper into the data to show you where things are moving and changing. The first thing I want to talk about is what were the areas that we went down in. I want to get the warts out there so we can see exactly where are we decreasing before we start talking about all of our improvement areas. Well, actually, both areas that we went down in were both achievement, and they were related to the exact same measurement that the Columbus Dispatch reported. We did drop in two measurements, and it was related to how many students passed the state test. There are two measurements here under achievement. This measurement, the area we dropped in, is based on how many kids passed a test. How many indicators did you meet? The other area, which I'll talk about in a minute, is how well did students do on the tests. We met fewer indicators than we did the year before. But here's the piece that the Columbus Dispatch doesn't mention when they say that. For the last two decades, school districts have been measured on whether or not 75% of their students passed the test. For the first time ever, that was changed to 80%. And MP dropped not just in our percentage of kids, but then that also caused our grade in that area to drop. So it's actually the same measurement, two different ways of grading it, that where we see those two drops. So what's the whole story to that? Well, here's the part the Columbus Dispatch did not publish. More MP students passed state tests last year than we did the previous year. Under the 75% rule, we would have maintained every indicator that we had the year before, and we would have gained three more. It was the change to 80% that caused that drop. If it had been still at 75%, we actually would have met 83.3% of our indicators, not 62.5% of our indicators. We would have had not a D, but a B. So when the Columbus Dispatch reported us as dropping in two areas, they didn't compare apples to apples when they did that, because the report card is always changing, and the report card's not comparing apples to apples. What that means is, well, the bottom line is, we are improving, but it's not showing up on the report card yet. We still have more work to do, and the tests are getting harder. This is going to be the first year that we're going to see a completely different type of test. It's no longer the Ohio Achievement Assessment. It's the Next Generation Assessments, PARC, and some of the state science and social studies tests. So we definitely have more work to do in this area. It's just not quite as bleak as we thought, as it's represented in the paper. The other piece that the achievement measurement measures is what's called the performance index. And this is our first area of improvement. More, like I said before, more AP students pass state tests this year than they did in the previous year. But what performance index tells us is how well did they do on those tests. Not only did more kids pass, but they passed at higher rates than they have before. That's a very positive thing. If you look at the performance index here, this is last year's performance index score, 77.4%. We've raised that up to 79.5% because every one of our categories are scoring, quintiles of students are scoring higher than they have in the past. That 79.5% is 0.5 of a percentage point away from getting us into the B category and out of the C category. So we're going to continue to work on that area. Improvement areas 2 and 3 both relate to the progress measure. Okay, this is often referred to as value added. This is a topic that's big in the newspapers right now. It's big on the news. It answers the question, did our students get a year's worth of growth? Did they get more than a year? Did they get less than a year? If you'll remember, our grade last year was an F in this area. And it was an F for our lowest 20%. The biggest key to remember, though, with this measurement on the state report card, is that is not what we scored last year. That is an average of 3 years. That is reporting what we did last year, the year before, and the year before that, averaged together. Last year's 3-year average was an F in both of these areas. This year's 3-year average is now a C. I'm going to talk a little bit more about how that got to be a C. First, I want to make sure that I emphasize this idea of a year's growth. Districts get a C if they demonstrated year's growth. Typically, we think of demonstrating a year's growth as what we're supposed to do. You start the second grade, you should end the second grade a year smarter, a year worth more of knowledge than you did the year before. In the state of Ohio, if you do that, what you were exactly supposed to do, you get a C. Okay? You don't get B's or A's until you go up more than a year's growth. An A represents 2 standard errors difference. And that's in comparison to every other district in the state of Ohio. It will never be that everybody in Ohio can get an A in this category. It's 2 standard deviations above the norm. If you're just like everybody else, you're going to get a C. It's going above and beyond to get that A or to get that F. Going down. Well, here's what our state report card doesn't show, and the Columbus Dispatch will never show, is that of yearly averages. So, like I said before, this year we were reported as having a C. That's our 3-year average, having a C. Last year we reported as having an F. That was a 3-year average. But this column shows what we've actually been doing year to year. In the school year 2011-2012, we had an F for value added for what we were doing in regards to growth. Last school year, it was a C. And this school year, the very good news is we had an A in value added. Value added is probably the biggest measure that's talked about in school districts now. And if you remember what I said, not everybody can get an A. So that puts us in an elite category of school districts that were providing substantial growth to our students. With that A for this school year, another school year like that is going to get us up into the B and A category for our three-year average. That's a very exciting thing for us to know and to recognize. These are other examples in our report card of how it shows us that progress. If I go back to this graphic and I show you about the yellow being a year's growth and up or down, farthest down being red, highest up being this dark green, then when we look at this area that's shown, this was last year's three-year averages by fourth through eighth grade in reading and in math, and this is this year's three-year averages. And what you can see there is there's a substantial difference in the colors that are showing up and how much growth we're making in many of our areas. That's exciting to see that kind of change. The progress versus performance takes what we've been doing achievement-wise with the performance index and compares it to our grade. Last school year, that graph looked like this. This large blue circle represents our overall population. And what you can see here is we're moving along the performance index, the achievement category, but as far as growth is concerned, progress, we were down here. Now that blue dot has significantly moved up. Our overall population is moving up. That's an important piece to notice. The other area that you see shifting up is where this yellow dot is. That represents the lowest 20%. That means any Madison Plains student who scored in the lowest 20% of the state. Well, we're making more and more growth with those students. Areas that are not moving. Our special ed population is not moving. Our gifted population, which was our highest before, is now equal to our overall in her lowest 20%. Again, not moving. That's going to be very important later on when we talk about what other measurements are coming. The fourth area is gap closing. That's that idea when I refer to we're closing the achievement gap at a higher rate than any other school district in Madison County. The achievement gap is the percentage it base is different every year. This is what it's comparing it to. In reading, the percentage was 84.9%. As you can see, our gap in reaching that is very slim here, larger for our lowest 20% or our economically disadvantaged on this graph, and very large for our special ed population. The key thing to know about closing the achievement gap is that line moves every year. So you're always chasing a moving target in closing the achievement gap. Closing the achievement gap answers the question, are we succeeding with all students, regardless of race, regardless of economy, socioeconomic level, regardless of disability, are we achieving with all students? And so this bar always moves. We're always kind of chasing after it. And you can see in reading, maybe getting a little bit closer than in math, and then exceeding it at the graduation rate. The other key thing to know is this bar is at 84.9%. The graduation rate is at 78.5%. So bars, the target is in different places for different measurements, and it moves year to year. There's lots of ways, obviously, that the state grades school districts, and this is one of them. What you can see here is last year's grade, 44.5% F, compared to this year's grade, 73.8%. Significant change in closing the achievement gap, and that's something that we should be proud of. The final two areas of improvement relate to our graduation rates. Both of these increased, and they're both in the A category. This graph shows us our district's graduation rate compared to similar districts, districts that are like us, and then the state average. And you can see we're significantly above the state average. And this is just showing us our trends over time. The five-year rate talks not just about the kids who graduate at the end of their senior year, but what do we do to get kids who didn't finish then and get them graduated a year after. That's why there's one less mark on this graph, is because it's always a year behind. The data is always a year behind because it's a year after graduation. There are a couple areas that are reported on the report card. They're not graded yet. They're going to be graded soon. The first is the prepared for success. I believe that Mr. Swanger showed a similar graph that was on the tolls. These are the areas that we are being graded on at Madison Plains. There are some good things there. There are some things that we need to be concerned about, because all of this in about another year is going to compile to give us yet another grade. For instance, we have about 62% of our graduating class of 2013 who participated in the ACT, but only a little less than half of them, 22.5% of them, actually scored remediation free. As a parent, that's something to be concerned about, because what happens when you don't score remediation free and your child goes off to college is they have to take remedial courses that you have to pay for that they don't get credit towards graduation. So we want to work on that and make sure more and more of our students are getting this remediation-free score on ACT. Other things that are reported, you'll notice a lot less kids take the SAT than the ACT. That's pretty typical. Not a lot of Ohio universities require the ACT. Also, it's higher levels of universities that often use the ACT, or I'm sorry, the SAT, so that's something to be considered. One area that I think you'll see the biggest discrepancy is the number of students who take AP exams at our high school versus those who pass AP exams, score three or higher. One of the things, there's some kind of disconnect there. First of all, we don't offer that many AP courses for 63% of a class to be taking AP exams. Secondly, we've only got about 5% of our kids passing AP exams. Well, that 5 to 10% is about right. So the question is, why do we have 63% taking AP exams? Well, they're most likely taking AP exams for courses where they didn't take an AP course, okay? And then secondly, they may be taking AP courses that aren't of the rigor of an actual AP course, AP exam. Those are all things that we're going to have to look at carefully with our high school to see what trends are we setting, where do we need to go next with those. Also reported but not yet graded, they will be a gifted grade. All of these items will be measured. Because of time's sake, I won't go through all of these things, but it's important to know that we will be graded on this. This graph shows us what percentage of our students are actually identified as gifted versus not, about 10%. That's about right. But what you see here is what percentage of them are actually served. None. So that's something that we're going to have to work on, because that factors into that grade. Of the Madison-Champaign County school districts that we work with through the ESC, 7 out of 9 of those school districts offer gifted services at some point. Only ourselves and West Jefferson do not. So that's just something else to be thinking about when we start thinking about what all goes into rating Madison Plains. Overall, in just a couple of years, supposedly 2016, all of these measurements will be graded to compose our overall grade. Each of those counts equally into the overall grade when we finally have that. But I do think there are definitely some areas we need to celebrate. There are some grade levels and tests where we made a lot of progress, where we had a lot higher achievement, or our subject areas were in the green. And so I think it's important to note that third grade reading, everything in fifth grade, 8th grade math, 7th grade reading, 10th grade social studies and science, high school chemistry, high school English in all grade levels, and high school biology are doing good things that we need to recognize and look at how we can emulate what they're doing in those grades and those classes to do better across the board. But of course, we have areas we know we need to focus on. We need to focus on 7th grade math. We need to focus on junior high and high school science. We need to focus on our special education students so that we can be better in everything that we do. So, I thank you for your time. If you have any questions for me, I would be happy to entertain those.
I could. I've got a couple comments I wanted to make on the presentation. I think anytime we're trying to make change, which we have been for, this is the third year now in a row, we've been pushing hard to make change. I think you got to recognize who are those, you know, agents of change in our district, and certainly the teachers and principals. Obviously, they are. Mr. Hall, who's no longer with us, he was a strong agent for change as he supported all of our improvement efforts. I have to point out, and I don't have to, I want to. You know, anytime you've got a presentation like this, it's your hope as superintendent, hope as a board, that you have somebody that understands all the data that's coming at us, flying at us from a lot of different directions. We're very fortunate that Karen is with us. She keeps all this data squared away for all of us, does, as you've seen, what a heck of a job being able to present it so it's easy to understand. Coming from a data world, I know that's not an easy task, to present information that people aren't used to seeing, and so I think that's outstanding. I was leaning over to Todd during the presentation saying, we need to put that on the website with our report card so people can sit, can analyze and have somebody actually flip through in the presentation. So kudos to Karen for this presentation as well as all the work she's done to this point. The MPIP, the improvement plan that we have, is an all-encompassing plan which incorporates the OIP. That truly is the driving force for this change. And again, you guys know that started 2 years ago. We are pushing forward on that. And I use the term a lot, we've got to push people, we can't shove them. When you start shoving, they push back. But we will keep pushing for change. Last but not least is the Board of Education for supporting that, because you get the calls, you get the people saying, why are you doing this? This is too hard, I don't like this. And I get those back from you, and I appreciate that, but that is the heat that comes from that friction that comes from change. So I thank you for doing that and continuing to support our efforts, and you're starting to see some payoff for that.
I do have one question, I guess. I know a lot of the improvement is based on what we've instituted with the AIP, and one of the steps to that is to reevaluate how we've done, so we just got the results. That gives us an idea of where we need to go and some of the things that we need to do for this year and the years coming. So you're already probably talking to some of the teachers and administrators to say, okay, if we touch on this, maybe we can talk to the superintendent about start to get doing this or doing that. So
right, and actually one of the things that we're in the process of, the final bits of data actually come out in about an hour, is being able to evaluate our last goal, which is our two-year goal. I'm eagerly anticipating. we'll be able to evaluate how we did at that goal of 85% or more, making that expected growth. And then we're right now, the DLT is looking at revising our goals for the next 3 years, and which areas are we going to focus on and how much higher are we going to set our expectations.
How far do you think those goals are off today that you're going to reset?
The DLTs. My last calculation was with the data we had met about 83%, and our goal was at 85%, so it'll be important to see how the data comes out tonight to see if we get that. We're going to be pushing for that to be 100% by 2017 instead of 85%, but we're also going to be looking at that gap closing measure to make sure that we close the gap with all of our subgroups.
I don't think it's said enough, but all the people part of the district leadership team, the building leadership team, we can't say enough about it. We know there's a lot of work that goes into stuff like this. seeing, you know, we've been anxiously awaiting the results, and I'm happy to see the results that we've got. I know we've got a great group of people on those committees, and I'm looking forward to next year.
Any other questions?
Thank you, Karen.
That takes you here.
Okay.
Business.
Yes, we'll move on to, are you all done? You're good?
Subject to new business. Yes, that concludes my report.
Okay, thank you. We'll move on to number two in new business.
Madam President, I move upon recommendation of the superintendent that the board approve the second and final reading of board policy IGBK, interscholastic extracurricular eligibility as presented.
Second. Discussion?
Yeah, I have a question. I should have read this earlier, I'm sorry. It says, but the board prohibits students from grades 9 through 12, okay? But then over on the next page, it talks about a student enrolling in the 7th grade for the first time will be eligible for the first grading period regardless of previous academic achievement. And therefore, so or is this a 9 through 12 or is this a 7 through 12?
7 and 8 has a different requirement than 9 through 12. Yeah, if you look at 7th paragraph down. A student enrolled in the first grading period of the 9th grade after advancements from 8th grade must have passed all 5. A student enrollment in the 7th grade for the first time will be eligible for the first grading period regardless of the previous academic achievement. So we do split out 7th and 8th from 9 through 12.
Okay.
And that's not a change. We've always had a split between those two. At least we tried to.
Okay. Okay.
Does that make sense?
I got it now.
And for clarification for the public, the major change from the first reading to this reading is that now we're including all co-curricular and extracurricular activities as being subject to the policy, except for those co-curricular and extracurricular activities that carry a graded credit towards promotion or graduation. That credit requires a grading rubric beyond a pass-fail. And again, we don't want to have situations where a group says, well, we can get around the eligibility policy by just having a pass-fail type of a situation where there's not a true grading rubric. Not that we have that now, but in the event somebody thinks, well, I'll do that for one of our groups, and I do it Matt, FFA, because I can pick on him for that. If they came back and said, well, we're just going to do a pass-fail, and that exempts us from this policy, no. You have to have a rubric that's graded, a grading rubric that goes with that grade. So that's why, and again, we heard what the board said. We thought it would possibly be more confusing if we had this group of clubs and activities that were under it and this group were not. So now they're all subject to it with that lone exception. So we think this is going to be the easiest to administer and the easiest to understand. So that's why there was a change made in that direction.
Any more discussion?
We will be bringing back, if this is approved, you can see the references on the back page, changes to those that are applicable, so you will be seeing those coming at you if these changes are approved tonight.
Okay. Call roll, please, Tom.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
No.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Dotts?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion passes 4-1.
Madam President, I move upon recommendation of the superintendent that the board approve the addition of Tracy Gardner to the substitute cook and substitute aid lists for the 2014-2015 school year.
I'll second.
Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Dotts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation, Superintendent, the board award the following academic supplemental contracts to be paid in accordance with the adopted negotiated contract for the 2014-2015 school year. Nicole Harpster as newspaper advisor and Luke Sunday, department head, math.
Second.
Discussion?
We have, I believe Nicole's here tonight.
Yep, right here.
There was a request that maybe she could come tonight and talk about what you'll be doing this year.
Yeah.
With the newspaper?
Do you want me at the podium or?
Sure, that's fine.
Okay. let me grab. This is the sample. We're kind of starting from scratch. This is kind of what our goal is for the end product, if you kind of want to look through. This is my high school, so I was on my high school staff, so this is what we're kind of leaning towards. Pretty much I have a small staff so far, hoping next year when we actually get the newspaper circulated around school that we can generate some more interest. It would be better to have a little bit of a larger staff than what we have now, but we're basically revamping the newspaper program this year, so my staff doesn't have any experience with journalism right now, so what we're working towards is they're learning how to write in journalistic style versus how it's different from their English classes. We've been going over inverted pyramid, the different laws of journalism. Right now they're practicing writing different stories, so right now they're working on practicing writing sports stories. They have been doing interviews, learning how to write reviews, write stories about events that are happening at school in the community. They'll learn how to write about layout features, and we're going to work on taking pictures. And then our goal is to get a computer program where we can lay out a page where it looks more like an actual newspaper would that flips open versus just being printed on regular paper. So we're working with Wilson's printing company right now. We're still kind of meeting with them and talking about how much it'll cost us, and then hopefully the next 9 weeks we'll start actually learning how to lay out pages, do headlines, and create things like that. So we're kind of still in the beginning stages, so we're hoping that we'll actually be able to start producing the newspaper second semester. And the students and I have been talking about fundraising, and they want to get sponsors to help pay for the paper, and then they'll have their advertisements in the school paper. So I don't know if you have
How often do you want to do, are you trying to do the newspaper? What's your goal?
We would like to start it when we actually start producing once a month, and then see with our budget and how they're doing as far as covering stories, if we can increase it to twice a month. Long-term goal is probably for next year, because I'm already probably being overambitious with it, would
That's
be
good.
To have it
That's
more
good. That's
on
okay.
like a once a week or every other week basis. So.
Great.
How would you feel about training some of your students to submit writings to the local paper? The only reason I bring that up is because the sports coverage in the area is poor at best.
Careful,
sorry,
careful,
Dean.
Careful.
I don't cover it.
See? but it's always been brought up by the paper. When you call them, they'll say they'll print anything that anybody submits.
Yeah.
So the point being is, when I saw that this was on the agenda, was how can we get the students to cover our own sporting events and then submit articles to the paper to be printed? You know, so I just think it's something that would be very beneficial to the
yeah,
to the students.
Definitely. I agree. I would definitely be on board with that.
Okay.
The sample that you showed us is on newsprint.
Mm-hmm.
Tim wouldn't be doing newsprint, would he? Just be 8.5 by 11 sheets?
Well, we do. I don't want to speak out of turn. We print Jonathan Alder's, their newspaper, and they do monthly. Theirs is 11 by 17. It usually is between 8 to 12 pages long, and they do a colored sheet on the back of a bunch of different pictures. I don't know if they showed that to you. This was kind of
no,
news to me, too. I was like, what are we doing? So,
no, we still have to talk
about what they're doing.
More.
Yeah.
We've just had a little
brief, okay.
Here and there.
So, but, I mean, that's what we do for Alder, but we'd be willing to do whatever she asks. But we can't print on newsprint, so.
No, we just want something a little more along the lines where we can add some color and more than what if we just printed it ourselves at school.
Okay.
Very good. Thank you, Nicole. Right.
Thank you.
Come on, please.
Mr. Dotz?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board award the following athletic supplemental contracts to be paid in accordance with the adopted negotiated contract for the 2014-2015 school year, as listed below.
Second.
Discussion.
Clarification. The 7th grade football cheerleading militia was brought on, if you remember, well into the season. We had a resignation, so she took over, so that's why she's on now.
Okay. Okay, can you call roll, please?
Mr. Dotz?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Yes, we've done number six. We'll move on to donations.
Madam President, I move upon recommendation of the superintendent and the board approve the following donations: $208.80 from Target, $2,000 from the Boosters, almost $150 from Kroger, and $1,500 from Lobelia Soil and Water.
Second.
Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Dotz?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Okay. No new agenda items. We will be moving into executive session this evening. So I move that we enter an executive session at 8:46 p.m. Am I right? 8:41 p.m. For one of the following, one or more of the following under Ohio Revised Code 121.22G, and then as section one, to consider the appointment, employment, dismissal, discipline, promotion, demotion, or compensation of a public employee or official, or the investigation of charges or complaints against a public employee, official, licensee, or regulated individual.
I'm also number five.
And number five, matters required to be kept confidential by federal law or rules or state statutes.
I'll second that.
Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Dotz?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
We will be taking no action at the executive session this evening.
It's not adjourned, but we will
now enter an executive session. This is not
back.
I know. I was trying.